That second phase will include making many of the tax breaks permanent. And she says newly named White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow will help the president make that happen and more.
Larry, I think, will continue to pick up that mantle and have phase two of tax cuts, plow forward on infrastructure and a strong, sound economy.
She was speaking on Fox and Friends. Democrats oppose making the tax breaks permanent, saying they'll add even more to the national deficit. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
And finally, March Madness is in full swing. Now, former President Barack Obama always used to love sitting down with someone from ESPN and go over his picks. President Obama this year, former President Obama, that is, did tweet out his picks again this year, his final four, Virginia, Villanova, Michigan State, and North Carolina. This is USA Radio News.
Jenny had a dream of joining the national bobsled team. She worked out relentlessly and knew that if she just refused to give up, one day her dream would come true and she'd stand triumphantly up on the podium. But when her kids reminded her that she was 52 and she lived in Texas, and maybe she started dreaming this dream a little late in life, she gave up on not giving up. But then she heard how Geico could save her money on car insurance, so she switched and achieved that dream instead.
If you have an Amazon Basics portable charger, don't use it, according to the government and the company. USA Radio Network's Wendy King explains.
Amazon is recalling 260,000 Amazon Basics portable chargers because they can overheat and cause fires or burns. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission says the company has gotten 53 reports of the chargers overheating, including one of a customer who was badly burned by battery acid. The CPSC says customers should stop using the charger and contact Amazon for a refund. Also, Amazon.com Incorporated says it is also contacting customers to warn them. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
This year, your taxes have to be filed by April 17th. It's moved back because of a holiday in the District of Columbia. What if you actually owe the IRS money and owe taxes? Well, Dave Ramsey, he's the CEO of Ramsey Solutions Incorporated. He says you want to get things squared away with the IRS ASAP.
You do not want to put anyone ahead of the KGB, I mean the IRS. They have unlimited power to mess with your life, and they charge a lot of interest and a lot of penalties. So we always put them first.
That audio courtesy of Fox News, and Ramsey also said in that interview, if you owe the IRS, the big thing to do is figure out why you keep having to owe the IRS money. For all of these stories and more, please remember, check out usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, my name is Tim Berg.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com. And I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hutton Chamber Radio, entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Let's hear a little bit now about Flemington and the area's weather. It looks like we're in for a little bit of rain, maybe some scattered rain and, snow showers. I wasn't aware of that. That's for this afternoon and this evening. You still might see the sun. So this is one of those weathercasts where you're in for just about anything. Western wind about 13 miles an hour. And gusts might be a little higher this afternoon, late this afternoon. Scattered rain and showers again tonight at the 8 o'clock-ish hour. But I think basically tomorrow when it comes time for the commute into your workplace, you ought to be pretty safe and everything will be clear, if not cloudy, other than, but no precipitation for the travel in the morning. So tonight we can have sun, we could have rain, we could have snow.
You still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out.
Well, welcome to 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCRDB, and this is Life is a Spiritual Occasion. It's brought to you every third Thursday at this hour from 4 to 5, and we talk about all things spiritual, not religious, not specific, but what that part of all of us deep within that we know is there for our accessing when we need it, if we care to listen. I am Suzanne Legay, and I am your host. And today we're going to be talking about a pretty interesting subject, in my opinion, and it's recognizing the spiritual laws of life. And, you know, it's interesting. We know what the natural laws are. We know that we have night and day and wind and sun, and that sun is beautiful, warming, and can sometimes give us a very pretty glow. But we also know that if we stayed out in the sun too often, that we might indeed get sunburned. So we sort of have to figure those kinds of, even the natural laws out for ourselves. We should all be, at this point, pretty familiar with the man-made laws, right? And we know that many of them are here to protect us. Let's say most of them, at least we hope so. But we also know that there's things like speeding limits. And if we go past them, that we're likely to be pulled aside and noted for that. And if we have no better reason for anything, you're going to get a ticket. Well, we're here today with two guests, so I'm going to let you know who they are very quickly. Perhaps you can... You can. See, now this is my first show with the video going, so you can already see them. So I can't hide that we have two people going. But that have quite some good information to share about recognizing what the spiritual laws of life are. And we'll learn that as we go along. Have with us Sally Sutton. Sally, let them know who you are. Sally's a high school tech teacher. She's also works in creative design and is both a coach and a consultant in those areas. And Joni Wellness. Joni, let them, yes. Joni's a yoga teacher and presents often on the topics of spirituality and this inner part of us that we're calling experiencing and expressing life as a spiritual occasion. So for today's discussion, why don't we start at some really basic stuff, right? And why don't we just say, what's spiritual mean, first of all, for our listening audience? What if we're going to talk about it here for an hour, and I'm excited about that, in what context do we mean spiritual? Whoever wants. Sally, you want to? Yeah. You need to get closer.
Okay. So with this, spiritual is really anything that allows me or that I do to put my attention on spirit or connect with spirit, or that means divine spirit or Holy Spirit or God. Whatever word you might use for that higher power that brings us all here for life. And this can come across in many ways. You know, we could be doing inner listening, paying attention to dreams, even during the dream state. We could be feeling gratitude, even reading about spiritual things. So all of that, it could be anything that opens our heart and moves us away from negativity and closer to divine spirit. So, mm-hmm.
So Joni, do you agree with that, Joni?
I think it's looking for the deeper meaning in everything in our life, and the purpose for everything that we do and our being here. Yeah. You know, just deeper meaning in general.
Yeah. I also think it's a little bit like having a relationship with people. You know, whether friends, family, loved ones, we have to put our time and energy into it to keep the connection and to even grow closer. So I think to build a connection with divine spirit and to have a spiritual life, we have to devote time and energy to it too.
Let's dive a little deeper in terms of talking about this. Who has an example, really, of we're talking about living with spiritual laws or recognizing them in our life, huh? So if we know that spirit is sort of that both esoteric and it sounds like individually and deep within. So give us an example of recognizing a spiritual law.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorites that I've been working on just for a few decades is the law of detachment. So for me, that means recognizing when I have an unwarranted desire that could get in my way, you know, like I guess in a very general sense, people might think of acquiring things. You know, you have attachment to things.
Oh, no, not my wardrobe.
Right, your wardrobe. But on a deeper meaning, it means being aware in the moment and being aware of when I am desiring something or wanting something, is if it's getting in my way or if I can let go of any outcome and just enjoy the process of learning or even... I was going to say suffering a little bit, you know, like being uncomfortable a little bit so that I can grow and be detached from anything in particular happening. So I could say, thy will be done, not my way, you know, thy way, not my way, so that I can detach from, it's like, I do want to go forward, but the way that happens, I can detach from any specific outcome.
So letting, is that too simple for me to say? Like letting go of, is that the same?
Yeah, surrender, letting go of.
Yeah. And a couple decades, huh? What's what's the prognosis here? What are we all looking forward to? it's probably a continuous, constant thing that we have to sort of keep in our
awareness. It's very liberating. So, you know, we're all looking for love in our lives, but, you know, the form that that love comes can be something that I wasn't expecting or... You know.
If you don't keep a picture of it.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
And being detached doesn't mean that we can't enjoy aspects of life and live our lives, you know, with beauty and wonderful things also. But it just means it may not always show up exactly the way we first envisioned.
Right. And, it doesn't mean being aloof or apathetic. It means enjoying what is. You know, finding contentment in what is and letting go of specifics. Although, you know, like with goal setting, sometimes you do have specifics, but sometimes you start off with a goal and you go towards your goal, but then spirit or, you know, the higher power, as you said, has another, like a better way. So if I let go of my original way and again surrender to thy way, it could be even better than I even imagined. So if I can detach from, you know, my mind's limitations and get into something bigger.
That's probably a whole discussion in itself, this notion of recognizing our limitations. And I suspect that could be a spiritual law too. But when you say letting go of, it just means, as I understand it, and you tell me if this is what you mean, this business of knowing what you want, seeing it clearly, perhaps writing a goal. I don't want to have marchers out here that are, say, they're goal setters and with their whatever, and be very clear about what you think you need and want, but then be open to a bigger, better solution that would, A, as you just said before, Joni, help you grow or make you maybe a little bit more aware of what you didn't even think of when you were setting your goal. It's a broader picture, it sounds like, it's something that you're suggesting.
And that broader picture, it can include another factor, the quality of what you're seeking. You know, not just the physicalness of it or the way it appears, but the quality, you know. So whether it's something open and loving versus, you know, any type of, tone quality that you want for it. That's the bigger picture, because then it can come in many ways.
And I think with detachment, it means that my happiness doesn't depend on getting my goal or not.
Nice.
Does that make sense? So let's say I have a financial goal or a love goal. I can still be happy going towards that goal. And if life leads me in another tangential direction, that's fine. I can still find contentment and happiness there. So I'm not going to be heavily disappointed or get depressed because it turns out different than I thought.
With that, I'll tell you what, I'm going to, we have to pause for a commercial break here and acknowledge some of the wonderful sponsors that help bring radio to us at WHCC. CRDB. See, now that we're on camera, I can't hide all my facial expressions and all that. I have to remember that somebody's watching out there, conceivably. But what a way to leave for a commercial break talking about contentment. So let's just hear that, and then we'll rejoin this wonderful conversation.
I didn't even get ready.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
You still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one goes.
Okay, so welcome back to Hunterdon Chamber Radio and Life is a Spiritual Occasion. Our guests today are Sally Sutton, a tech teacher and a consultant, and Joni Wellness, a yoga teacher and a presenter. And we're talking about a very interesting topic called what is it we're talking about? Recognizing the spiritual laws. We tossed around two or three different ways to say this that we thought would be something for our listeners, and so I'm referring back to my paper, if you will, on recognizing the spiritual laws. So I asked a little bit about what's an example of a spiritual law. Joni, you told us quite a bit about detachment and what that means in her life. So, Sally, do you have an example, too, of perhaps what
yes,
is...
Yes. Okay. So many. And it's interesting because what Joni was talking about, detachment, is definitely part of what I'm going to be talking about. But this was the law of change that I wanted to focus on. And it basically states something maybe a lot of people are aware of, but this world is a world of change. There's no stability here. You know, we can want it. We can want things to stay a certain way, but there's no guarantees, and it doesn't. And it's just the nature.
Ask our Department of State.
Yes, it's absolutely. It's the nature of all the positive and negative energies in the world of time and space. And I know from, like, becoming aware of this law and years of paying attention that I have changed. And something happened last year that I saw it. I could see it. And it was, I had been working in the same school for, say, 15 years, a little more than that. And I figured, well, I'll be there till I retire. Yet at one point, very suddenly, near the end of the year, I was told I was being transferred to a different school. And it was like, oh, okay. And, you know, I listened in the meeting. I asked questions. And it wasn't part of my plan, like you said, by, you know, not my will. But it was okay. And it seemed for a good reason, a new program. And I, you know, after this, I thought, well, look, I'm pretty calm here. This is okay. And I think that's because I trusted, because I knew that whatever was happening was for my spiritual benefit. There would be something, whether it was serving, and probably both, because spirit is very, efficient, that probably something for me, a lesson for me, or something serving other people, you know, in the new environment. And that day when I found out about this, I met, there was another woman who had gotten the same news, And she was in tears. And it was a very different experience of the news for her. And not to judge, not, you know, everybody's in a different place. But I saw that would have been me years before. And so I know it's this focus on acknowledging and accepting life as it is helps me enjoy it more and you know, move through it more smoothly.
So for recognizing a spiritual law, let's take it back to our topic since I now can say it without looking at the paper. knowing that things change and that you now have some experience that change doesn't mean doom, change right. doesn't mean fear, change doesn't mean whatever's, you know,
right.
but that you can trust some of that.
Yes.
So let me ask this question then. It sort of begs to be answered. So what difference does that make in your life when we know these spiritual laws, or we're saying recognize them? And maybe, you know, through the course of today's program, let's hope that we get that we get through some more examples of that. But what difference, you gave an interesting example there. I mean, you weren't in tears and you saw yourself who could have been, you know? Yeah. So what difference does it make maybe to our listeners or any of us that we recognize these laws? Again, we're talking about laws of nature, man-made laws, and spiritual laws. So we're saying for our conversation today, they exist, folks. Okay. And recognizing them. So what difference is it making? Joni, can you add to that?
Well, you know, with Sally's, if change is the only thing we could really count on, right? Then instead of fearing it, I can look forward to it. And as Sally also mentioned, trusting that whatever happens, it's going to be okay. And not even okay, it could be better. So when change comes, I learn to welcome it. And I might not know what the final situation is going to look like, but I actually get excited. Like, ooh, change is there. Okay. And sometimes there's a moment of discomfort, like, ooh. And then I remember, oh, no, change is good. Change is good. So whatever happens, it's going to move me forward, you know, to unfold with more awareness.
And you just mentioned, like, noticing, say, discomfort. So the more we're aware of the laws or we're watching ourselves, you know, we're recognizing ourselves in every situation, that becomes almost a higher view that helps us live with the laws.
Right, and loss is inevitable, and it, you know, we don't want to detach from our human selves and our emotions completely, but things that are difficult in life don't have to devastate us long term.
Yeah, there's also less of a struggle with with accepting life, less like I you know, even decisions. I used to, you know, the old technique of listing one column all the pluses and all the minuses, and it would never help me. I would do it and I would look at it and I'm like, well, they're almost equal. I still don't know. And I, even if I could tell, it was like that didn't feel right, and it just never helped me. And so there's so that's mental. So we don't have to struggle so much mentally, because there's some things we just can't figure out. We can't. And we can do what we need to do, but some things there can be another way of knowing, an inner way, and trusting inner guidance that comes to us in many different forms. So that's, you know, from paying attention to a lot of the other laws too.
So
if we say that this, you both evidently have been aware of these spiritual laws for quite some time, so you have some time and distance and experience. Tell me a little bit more about what that change means today. In other words, you're in a classroom and you're in a teaching yoga or whatever we're doing, or a nephew or niece is particularly troublesome, or a kid on the West Coast is at your, okay. So,
right.
So how does this, you know, for our listeners, how do we, knowing this, And you said in retrospect, you can look back and feel comfortable about that. That helps you going forward, huh? That helps you not get as anxious, and you mentioned struggle or letting go of some of that. But what is it, why are you different? What is knowing those laws? In other words, if we can throw out a couple more of them as we go along today to our listeners, but what can people expect when they raise their awareness, when they know there's such a thing, eh? A spiritual laws, just like there are, you know, man-made and natural, and recognizing what they are. I mean, how many of them are? Do we have 10? Do we have 110? What, you know, and do you memorize it? What do you do? You know, in other words, what? How does one, I think, I guess I'm trying to find my way to ask the question clearly, like, what does working with them and learning about them do? How do we do ourselves? How do we live life once we know that these exist?
Well, I think, you know, like the one I brought up first, attachment, I used to do like once a week. I would take one day a week and try to focus on it one day a week and notice how it would come up and, you know, change also. So I would take one at a time sometimes and just see how it would show up and what lessons Spirit was trying to give me about that particular subject.
That so, inner part of you. Remember, mm-hmm. we defined spiritual early on. So right. that inner part of you. What
the
it's
inner
trying
part,
to,
I would yes. call that soul.
Oh,
so okay, me, not that I have a soul, but that I am soul. And this time around, I'm in this body called Joni. And
thank goodness.
Yeah, so I am soul. So I am soul. And from that perspective, living in harmony with the laws is much easier than fighting against them or having no awareness of them.
And when you have an experience and you learn something about it, do you like, that must be number 29? Not so, right? I mean, is that how it doesn't sound to me like that's how it works for you guys?
No.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's lots of reading on all the laws, the ones we mentioned and many other aspects, but it's more like, whatever gets your attention from what's happening in a day, you know, you might read specifically about that more or focus on it more inwardly, asking for guidance. I have that book we showed before too, and I've never read it from start to finish.
I don't know. Have we?
I have.
Oh, we didn't. We
I know Joni has a book here.
I have
she
a book.
Sometimes
I refer to this. It's called The Spiritual Laws of Life.
Oh,
it's by Harold Klimp. And, it's
kind
of nice. Sometimes I'll just open randomly and go, you know, and think of the law of cause and effect or, you know. So it gives, if I'm not sure what to focus on, I can find a focus, you know, as like a point of meditation or contemplation.
Well, we just blatantly cut you off, though. Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, no, I don't. But I was going to say, you just need to follow where your direction is going and you might even get a clue if you were looking at something and it just speaks out to you in a certain way, lights up for you, that's what you're focusing on. I was also thinking about when you were saying you're looking at your experiences, journaling and writing things down is a very specific technique that is very helpful to, you know, work with the laws and guidance you're receiving.
I had an experience driving here this morning, and I don't know what law to call it, but I'm sure it is. And that is, and I'm hoping that other people recognize this, and this just isn't me alone in the universe. But when you have something naggingly negative, a negative conversation in your head, and so there's something that's, you know, disturbing to me, and I was driving to work trying to keep my awareness open and appreciate. Actually, there's still some snow left on the trees. It was beautiful. I have a farm road to drive in on and all that. But every once in a while, I'd notice this nagging conversation. And I'd let go of it, right? And the third time it came up, I said, "You can't get me." So now I'm imagining and I'm making up, right, as I come along, that I won't be had by this negative conversation. Now, I don't know what law that is. All I know is that I recognized it quicker each time. I was willing to let go of it. And when I made a game for myself, it became a, you know, you can't have me negative conversation. You just can't. Yeah, like that, right? And, you know, it changed to a lightheartedness about something that I could have either been the victim of, or I would have badgered myself for being negative all the way into work, and I wasn't having it, you know. But it took three times of that negativity going on in my head to where I just started to play this game in my imagination. You can't get me. You can't get me.
Well, you just described one of the. So what you did was you shifted your consciousness, and you made a game. I love making a game out of it. So instead of like feeling like, I have to do all this, you know, this work mentally or concentration or anything, it's like I see it as a puzzle.
There, or I would have been, I would have been, you know, beating up on myself for being that way, right? And I just
exactly
all that's part of the same thing, incidentally.
And it takes practice. So you practiced. It took a few times, but then you got it, and you were able to shift into a lighter feeling. And that's back to your original question, which was, what is all having the awareness do? It lets you be lighter. You know, we say enlightenment, but it's just feeling lighter and happier about everyday life, even about driving, you know, so that you don't get bogged down in that. So we can practice not so much controlling the thoughts. I mean, that there is an aspect of that. In yoga, there's pratipaksha bhavanan, which is, it's a specific technique where you substitute a negative thought with a positive one, which you kind of did. But I think what you did was actually rise above that, because I think there's a higher way to do it.
I'm still smiling about it, so I think I must have.
Yeah, so it's to just give rise above all those thoughts and say, well, is there something else? And you were able to call that in, that lightness and humor, and even, you know, sing a silly song about it.
It reminded me of the law of discrimination, because that's about, yes, we can all make choices, but it's about, and there's no real right or wrong in anything, because, you know, we'll, there'll be consequences for everything we do along the way. But to choose the path that the way that is more spiritual advancement versus a waste of time, that's what you did. You took it to a higher, more positive. That's the way you went with it in the game versus giving into it. So that's an example of that.
So, I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
Well, just, and I just wanted to clarify, because in this day and age, sometimes when we say the word discrimination, people have a reaction. So we're not talking about the kind that's prejudice and that kind. Okay. We're talking about, like, discriminating taste or discriminating choice,
yes,
where we can choose how we're going to respond rather than react to something.
Yes,
that's what
absolutely
we're talking about with discrimination. It's a spiritual concept that we have a choice with how we're going to respond to life. You know, you were in your car, you could respond negatively in the old way, or you could keep trying for the new way, which brought you happiness, and you're still smiling from it. So that's practicing discrimination.
Yeah.
It's a lot of this seems to, there's two things that we haven't mentioned that seem inherent in what you both are saying to me. One is the willingness or the will, and the other is bringing that awareness or that consciousness to the table. Can you do, you know, how do we become more aware of these laws? You know, it sounds as though you become aware when you bump up against one.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, besides, you had a book, so I'm sure that there's, you know, show us the book again.
Oh, sure.
Spiritual Laws of Life. Okay,
Howard
good. By Howard
Klein.
Here. Okay, so, you know, there's ways of reading, there's ways of expanding our awareness. But in the moment, how is it that we, the two things you most recently said, Joni, one was to become aware or to become conscious of it, and the second one is the will to make that shift. Can you say, I know I'm sticking you on the spot here, but I'm just wondering if there's a way to express that for our listeners so that they can understand.
Well, this might be the beginning of an answer for that, but and it's part of what you said before about what does this do for you too. But for me, paying attention like this, it made my life purposeful. Before I discovered spirituality, I was in a place that I was like, why am I here? You know, and I was depressed. This was decades and decades ago, a long time ago. But this path and looking at life differently from a spiritual view made it purposeful, not just to help me live and feel better, not just that, but I feel like I'm contributing to all of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels really purposeful to me. So that's the beginning of it. So that's what, once you get that, and you it's hard to back away from that.
So for you, that gave you the purpose. That gave you the will one.
Yes.
And then this business of being aware, how does that come to us?
Well, we can ask. So if you're going to be journaling, you can write down a question. Mm-hmm. Please show me what I need to know right now. I actually like leaving it open-ended like that rather than, getting too specific.
What should I do about
What should I do about this injury or, you know, my, you know, landlord or this or that, you know. But what do I need to know right now? And then we get answers. We get answers in our dreams. We get answers through the day. And also to answer your earlier question, you know, what difference does it make in my life? I think I've become kinder and more patient and more fun. You know, like I don't take things, I'm very serious when things need to be, but I'm also much more lighthearted. You know, I'm trying to develop my sense of humor, and I know I'm more patient and kinder.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm helping people all the time, just spontaneously, because it feels good.
So you said kindness, and you said your purpose and service. What are they're sort of like principles, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Can you give our listeners another couple examples of what that might be? Those guiding principles, or they are, I guess it's in keeping with the spiritual laws.
Well, joyful, which comes from all of that, but also less fear.
That should be big in people's lives.
Yes.
Do you have an example of that?
Yeah, I do.
I do. How nice.
I have so many. And actually, you know, I love the saying. There's a saying that about love replaces fear, that both mm-hmm. can't exist in the same place. And so when I think this applies in big situations. It applies in little moments, you know. But I had something happen last week that I thought was so sweet, and it started with my fear, because I was in I had gone to my sister's house, and I didn't know that her son and his family were there because of power outages and all that, and his Bernese Mountain Dog was there, who is still up under a year, so I guess he's still a puppy, but he's big. And I've definitely seen him a few times, but I'm not like I'm friendly with dogs, but I'm not like, oh, hi, and roughhousing with them. So anyway, I see he's there, and he's running all around, and he has big teeth, and he's big, and I'm like, fear. I'm feeling fear. So I'm against a table. I'm standing back, and I'm being still, and I just started focusing on love inwardly for me. And that's all I'm doing. And what does he do? What does Bo do? Bo is the dog. He backs up, so he comes right up to me. He sits on my feet with his back. Now, he's up to my, you know, up to my
torso.
Chest level,
yeah.
Torso, you know, sitting. He's just there against me, sitting on my feet. He's happy. He's feeling the love. So this was an example where it didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. I thought maybe the love would make him go away. But it was like, okay, he's feeling the love. This is okay. So we stayed there for a little bit, you know, and then I looked at my sister. I was like, now what? What do I do? But, you know, and then she got him involved in something else. So, you know, but that's just a little example, and I just thought it was so sweet.
So you had one of those moments that dog lovers wish for, you know, when you're trying to get the attention of an animal or a child, and you have to have detachment, you have to wait for them to come to you, and you had it,
mm-hmm.
you know, that when they lean again, I love that. I'm a dog lover, so
yeah.
It also sounds to me, as I listen to you both, that there's that this joyfulness, or the, you know, like I was still smiling about not let, you know, you can't get me, and you talking about this or some of the things, Joni, that the appreciation is this great return for being aware of what it is you're confronting, and that you have the inner capacity to A, deal with it, B, not change it, B, you know, you said let it go. The third thing is to just be grateful for what you're learning here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm hoping the next time this nasty little conversation rises up, it lives right around in here, that I'm going to be able to remember, you can't get me. And, you know, so there's something about the learning of that that's that's gratifying, right? I mean, it's more gratitude for it.
Yes, that's there. And once you have the experience, nobody can take that away from you. You will remember that. You will remember, and you'll know. And you'll respond, you know, similarly. Now, there could be other situations that are going to get you different ways, but you'll be learning from them, too.
I'm sure.
Yeah. And we could also create cues for ourselves. So, you know, if you're in that situation, you've got that, na, 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 na. You know, that could be your cue. You know, you make up a little ditty for it, or so that we have these things that, you know, for me, it's like within one breath, I could shift my consciousness because I practiced it for so long. I could shift from being reactive to going, okay, how shall I respond to this?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's what I mean when I say I put my attention on love. It's from years of doing a lot of types of, you know, inner work that I can do that. Yeah.
So tell me this, is it experience A, saying, okay, I'm going to assume there are spiritual laws as there are natural and man-made. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to start to look at, let's give somebody a roadmap here. So I'm going to assume they're there. I'm going to assume I know many, many, many of them because I've lived, this is for somebody else's sake, you know, mm-hmm. I've lived X number of years, therefore I must have learned, and now I'm going to be aware. I mean, what's the path sort of for folks that want to experience some of the things that you ladies are talking about in terms of, detaching from things? Or Sally talked about going inwardly and practicing love or being aware mm-hmm. of love and what that did. Not, you didn't do it to the dog. You didn't ask the dog to go away. You didn't ask mm-hmm. for it. You just put yourself at ease.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog just came over to say,
yes,
thanks.
Yep.
I was afraid of you. Now I'm not. For all we know,
right.
We don't know.
We don't know. So
is it? I mean, what's the, you know? So you test mm-hmm. it, then you look for it, and then you practice it. You know, I'm making this up as I go along, but I'm wondering what you could offer. Yeah,
I think I was going to say listening is key. I mean, listening to others, but listening to what's happening within you, like the experience you had, or you know, all the time. And the more we can even use the imagination to help us too, because you can use techniques where, say, you view what's happening in your day or in a moment, you view it from an airplane looking down on it, or like looking down on a checkerboard or a chessboard, you know, and what's happening, so that you get out of being stuck in it so that you can see it and just really, you know, be able to handle it from a different perspective.
And when we have that higher perspective, then we can see that, oh, we are on the board game of life, mm-hmm. and we can create our reality. We can rewrite the script from that higher viewpoint. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to go into the script that was expected of us or that we were stuck in. We can get unstuck and rewrite a new script. And sometimes it helps to revisit a situation in retrospect because we see, what could I have done differently? How could I have responded differently? And then if we practice that as a technique, then the next time something similar comes up, we will be more prepared for it. And, you know, when we're out of touch with our inner guidance, we need more outer laws. You know, we need laws to tell us not to be violent and this and that. But when we're in touch, we know what's right and what's not right because we feel it. So if we've gotten, you know, away from ourselves and don't feel, we'd have to take time and pause and be silent or be in nature or, you know, be inspired by the sunset or, you know, something that puts us back in touch with that inner knowing. It's already there. But we have to practice listening to it.
Wow, I'm going to use that trailer there to say that once again we're going to listen to the folks that helped to bring 100 Chamber Radio to you all. So let's hear from them.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
You still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes.
Okay, welcome back to Life is a Spiritual Occasion. And today we're talking about recognizing the spiritual laws with our guests, Sally Sutton and Joni Wellness. And we've covered a tremendous amount of territory so far, and we're almost at the end of this conversation. It happens so quickly, doesn't it, by the time we gear up practically. But one of the things, we're talking about spiritual laws, and we've talked about recognizing them. We've talked about how we live our lives, knowing them, and the kind of differences that makes, right? I mean, we've talked about all those things. And what I have to say, the impression I get from both of you ladies being here for three quarters of an hour, is that, we think of laws as being restrictive, right? There's a law, nope, can't do that. Nope, can't do that. There's the law about if you go out and you're standing under a tree in a lightning storm, whoa, watch that one, right? So laws are restrictive in some sense, but I don't get that at all from you ladies. I don't get that understanding spiritual law is in any way restrictive.
It's not. And actually, you made me smile when you were saying that, because when I first looked at that one particular book and maybe others, I wanted to see a law that said, do this, do this, do that. But it's not like that. So these are concepts and principles that are operating. They are true. They're true.
They're there, regardless of whether we know, it sounds like whether we know them or not, they're operational.
So it's not quite the same kind of law. And the more we increase our understanding of any one law or all of them, I mean, it's never ending, because there's always one more, a little bit more, that plus one factor. So it's about us and our growing, our individual spiritual growth, that eventually, will just keep going more than just in the social consciousness.
Liberating. It's freeing.
Could I just ask? Go ahead. You start, and then I didn't, Sally. I didn't have your mic on high enough. I think so.
Oh, okay.
Let's do the free, and then because that was an interesting point, I think, for our listeners. I'm sorry, I didn't have your mic up
after
high
her.
Enough, huh?
I think it happened.
Oh, okay.
After Sally
so
finished.
So Sally, you were saying it's freeing in a way.
I was saying it was freeing that it's not a law that says do this, do that, do that. It's about principles that we need to gain our own understanding of, and it keeps growing and growing a little bit more. One more point, one more aspect. So it just doesn't end.
Yeah, it's very liberating. And I think the more we have that understanding, the more we rise out of our own personal struggles and can serve in a greater capacity. So if I have to take care of myself and my problems, then my attention is there. But if I see my problems as just little blips on the screen and not really big problems, but just, you know, part of life that I accept and can detach from, then I can still serve my community, you know, serve my family and my friends.
And it doesn't seem to me to mean that this is no pie in the sky kind of thing, that suddenly you'll never be sad or suddenly you'll never be confronted with something that seems huge to you. It's just that this is there for us to, it sounds like, to learn about and cooperate with, you know, sort of dance with, dance with life, dance with what's happening. That doesn't mean, I guess, from listening to you guys, that gals, that we're not talking about not experiencing sorrow. We're not talking about experiencing upset, but it's knowing that there's tools available or this mm-hmm. inner quiet that seems to be what you folks are saying, huh?
Yeah.
It's not about denial at all. I'm one for going right into whatever's present, because if you try to go around it, it's just going to build up and accumulate. So I'm one for just facing it. You know, maybe you should wait till you get home or something, you know, but yeah, journal about it, face it, and be in it, because that's being human, and then that gives us compassion for everyone else who's going through things. But I find that understanding these laws of, you know, impermanence and change, so even if, you know, like with death, I can feel the joy of, you know, being blessed with knowing that being at the same time that I'm grieving, you know, feeling sad. There's a reluctance to let go, of course, because I'm human. But at the same time, I can feel, wow, was I lucky to have that in my life? And it gives me even more appreciation for every moment that I'm here. And it gives me compassion for listening to others who are going through that.
Yeah, very heart-centered, mm-hmm. what you're
very
saying.
Very heart-centered.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, though, there's one law, the law of love, that is considered the highest law of all of them. So that is something definitely to get into, to appreciate. It's about that the only way to get love is to give it. And as we can fill ourselves with love, to be magnets of love, just like with Bo, the dog, you know, a little bit at that point.
That's a great story. I hope I can remember that sometime.
And then the more we can do that, you know, it's about a higher goal, not just for here and now, but to be able to give and receive divine love. This is not all, we're not talking about human love in the sense of, relationships. That's all, you know, that's limited to the number of people we can manage to love in that way. But we're talking about unconditional love and what's the other word? Detached love. For everyone. Mm-hmm. Joni brought up that knowing yourself as soul. Well, then everyone is soul. And soul is this spark of God, even, and is love also. So it's huge. It's not restrictive. It's huge and keeps going.
Wow. So if you wanted to... if you wanted to leave our listeners with one thing that you think would be important about this new subject, maybe it's not a new subject, that there's spiritual laws that help us and free us, it sounds like you're saying, what is it that you would want our folks to hear before we have to wrap up on this pretty interesting hour?
Well, a couple of things. One, though, that just know, no matter how you go about this, it is your own individual path. No one can tell you what to do. It is your own path. And for me, it's been filled with practical guidance in my mm-hmm. life and practical help, which is probably what kept me going with it all. So that's one key thing, that it's very individual.
And what came to me was, you could try this as an experiment. Do one thing out of love every day and out of love alone. So it could be, you know, picking up a piece of litter that you didn't drop. It could be holding the door for someone. It could be just caring for a plant that you have or saying hello to someone on the street. And if you do it without going for the you could notice that you want the recognition, but you let that go. You know, there's nothing wrong with noticing our lower human consciousness urges and things like that. But to say, no, I'm not going to ask for recognition. I'm just going to do it anyway.
You make me laugh, Joni, because I was walking from one building to another building today at work, and there was a box in the parking lot. Now, you know, there's been all these letters and packages, right, that have been sent to people, and that they've had just terrible, terrible effect, and it's a awful act. Anyway, so I see this box, right?
We don't know what
and
you're talking
I
about.
Walk up to this box, and I get down like this to, you know, crouch down at the eye level of the box to make sure the box is empty, and, you know, and then it says it was supposed to be for cooking oil or something, right? So I pick up the box and I take it over to the dumpster, but I thought to myself, you know, if anybody sees you practically crouch down here to make sure this is an empty box and there's nothing in there that's going to explode, but still my urge was to pick up the box and get it out of the parking lot, but when you just said that, it just struck me funny, so not such a funny topic, though, I must say. Well, I have to thank you two ladies, Sally Sutton and Joni Wellness, for really an engaging conversation about living with or recognizing the spiritual laws and sort of dancing with them, dancing mm-hmm. with life, and we learn our lessons, and that sort of gives us momentum, doesn't it,
mm-hmm.
to keep on going. So,
thank you. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. It was fun to have you. Thank you. And please know that you can see us back here. You can see us. We can not only hear us, but see us now on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. Life as a Spiritual Occasion comes to you once a month on the third Thursday from 4 to 5. And we will see you next month to talk more about Life is a Spiritual Occasion.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Chamber Radio weather. It's 8:06 and it is March 6, 2018.
Well, we're going to be talking about weather a lot today. Right now in Flemington, it's 33 degrees. Clear skies, 20% chance of precipitation. No wind at this time. Today is Tuesday, March 6, 2018. Sunny to partly cloudy, a high of 49. Winds east-southeast at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight will be rain and snow showers this evening, turning all snow overnight, a low of 31. Winds east at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation, 90%, and 1 to 3 inches of snow is expected tonight. Tomorrow, periods of snow, temps nearly steady in the low to mid-30s. Winds north-northeast at 15 to 25 miles an hour. Chance of snow, 100%. Snow accumulating 8 to 12 inches. And snow ending in the evening tomorrow, followed by a clearing overnight, a low of 29. Winds west-northwest at 10 to 20 miles an hour. Chance of rain, 70%. So if you do some quick math, folks, that's